A very good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk Diaspora Forum, where we speak about issues affecting Zimbabweans in the diaspora. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington this Wednesday, February the 8th, 2023. I am your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Tonight on the Diaspora Forum, we are looking at the State of the Union Address by United States President Joe Biden in his second State of the Union Address this morning, Zimbabwean time.
The President of the United States.
In his address, Biden lauded his legislative and policy achievements, reiterated his stances on contesting China and supporting Ukraine, and proclaimed that, quote, though bruised, our democracy remains unbowed and unbroken, unquote. The president's words were delivered to a divided Congress whose leader, Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, has vowed to use his slim majority in the House of Representatives to oppose many of Biden's priorities. Biden also outlined his views on gun policy, calling for a renewed assault weapons ban. He called on Congress to enact his immigration reform plan, or failing that, to at least approve a plan to add equipment and resources to secure the border. Among the guests were the parents of slain Memphis resident Tyre Nichols, who was 29, and was killed by five police officers in January. Ongo wadiwa watereri, tinoku gamshira emushiro nguwa chedu, chatuno tarisa shiruku sangala newa nawe Zimbabwe, variku nzekwe nyika. Nase tiruku tarisa neje mashoko, anorati za mamiru akaita zvinhu mu America. Ayo aturwa nasi mangwanani nguwa dzeku Zimbabwe, ne mutungamiri wenyika ya America va Joe Biden, kana kuti State of the Union Address. Va Biden avataura kaveke piri kubva zvavasarudzwa kuve mutungamiri wenyika, varumbidza hurumende yavo nekukwanisa kwavanoti vakaita kudzikamisa upfumi, kurwisana nechirwere cheCOVID-19, kusawirirana kwavo neChina uye rutsigiro rwavo kuUkraine. Va Biden vapawo pfungwa dzavo panyaya yemitemo inobata nyaya dzepfuti muAmerica pamwe nenyaya dzekuchengetedzwa kwemiganhu yenyika yavo. Vanyarikani vangavari pachiitiko ichi vanosanganisira vabereki vemurume wechitema wekuMemphis vaTyre Nichols avo vakaurayiwa nemapurisa mashano. Aka ndeke kutanga vaBiden vachitaura paurongwa uhu mutauriri weparamende ave webato rinopikisa reRepublican Party vaKevin McCarthy. In his address, President Biden accused some Republicans of wanting to take the economy hostage, to which the opposition members disagreed in unison. Let's hear that.
Some of my Republican friends want to take the economy hostage. I get it, unless I agree to their economic plans. All of you at home should know what those plans are. Instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority. Let me give you, anybody who doubts it, contact my office. I'll give you a copy of the proposal. That means Congress doesn't vote. Well, I'm glad to see you. No, I tell you, I enjoy conversion. You know, it means that if Congress doesn't keep the programs the way they are, they'd go away. Other Republicans say, I'm not saying it's a majority of you. I don't even think it's even a significant, but it's being proposed by individuals. I'm not politely not naming them, but it's being proposed by some of you. Look, folks, the idea is that we're not going to be moved into being threatened to default on the debt if we don't respond. Folks, So, folks, as we all apparently agree, Social Security and Medicare is off the books now, right? They're not to be stopped. All right. We got unanimity. We'll not cut Social Security. We will not cut Medicare. Those benefits belong to the American people. They earned it. And if anyone tries to cut Social Security, which apparently no one's going to do, and if anyone tries to cut Medicare, I'll stop them. I'll veto it. And look, I'm not going to allow them to be taken away. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. But apparently it's not going to be a problem.
And that there was a reaction from Republicans after President Joe Biden said some Republicans want to take the economy hostage. In the Republican response, Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders told Americans that Biden and the Democratic Party have failed them, adding that Democrats want to rule them with more government control.
Being a mom to three young children taught me not to believe every story I hear. So forgive me for not believing much of anything I heard tonight from President Biden. From out-of-control inflation and violent crime to the dangerous border crisis and threat from China, Biden and the Democrats have failed you. They know it, and you know it. I'll be the first to admit, President Biden and I don't have a lot in common. I'm for freedom. He's for government control. At 40, I'm the youngest governor in the country. And at 80, he's the oldest president in American history. I'm the first woman to lead my state. And he's the first man to surrender his presidency to a woke mob that can't even tell you what a woman is. In the radical left's America, Washington taxes you and lights your hard-earned money on fire. But you get crushed with high gas prices, empty grocery shelves, and our children are taught to hate one another on account of their race, but not to love one another or our great country. Americans want common sense from their leaders. But in Washington, the Biden administration is doubling down on crazy. President Biden inherited the fastest economic recovery on record, the most secure border in history, cheap, abundant, homegrown energy, fast rising wages, a rebuilt military, and a world that was stable and at peace. But over the last 2 years, Democrats destroyed it all.
That was Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the Republican who responded to President Biden's speech. President Biden spoke about the rising tensions with China and the lingering war in Ukraine. These were his main foreign policy issues. VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sainz reports from Washington.
As President Joe Biden spoke to a joint session of Congress Tuesday evening on the State of the Nation, tensions with China loomed large after a suspected Chinese surveillance balloon captured the attention of both lawmakers and ordinary Americans. Without mentioning the balloon specifically, Biden sought to reassure Americans while sending this message to China.
I'm committed to work with China where we can advance American interests and benefit the world. But make no mistake about it. As we made clear last week, if China threatens our sovereignty, we will act to protect our country, and we did.
On Saturday, a U.S. fighter jet shot down the balloon in midair over the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of South Carolina. China has called the U.S. shooting down of the balloon unacceptable and an overreaction. Some Republicans criticized Biden for not ordering the balloon shot down earlier as it traversed the country. They may be looking for a tougher stance on China, Michael Kugelman of the Wilson Center told VOA.
So he was not taking a forceful hawkish position. He was leaving open some space for conciliation. And I really don't think those members of Congress that want a more hardline stand would have been satisfied with what he said tonight.
Russia's war against Ukraine was also featured in Biden's address. The U.S. has committed more than $27 billion in security assistance to Ukraine. Biden said Russian President Vladimir Putin's invasion 1 year ago was a test that America passed.
We united NATO. We built a global coalition. We stood against Putin's aggression. We stood with the Ukrainian people. Tonight, we're once again joined by the Ukrainian's ambassador to the United States. She represents not just her nation, but the courage of her people.
Some Republicans have been skeptical of military aid to Ukraine, but that was not the case when Republicans in the chamber, including House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, appeared to strongly support Biden's remarks.
I have to say, I saw a lot more support coming from the Republican side of the aisle when he was speaking about Ukraine, particularly at the moment when he said, "We are in it as long as it takes." This is something that we have heard Republican Party push back on specifically, saying that there wasn't a blank check for Ukraine.
Apart from the war in Ukraine and a long-planned pivot to Asia, President Biden is planning for the first visit to sub-Saharan Africa by an American president since 2015. Cindy Sane, VOA News, Washington.
Let's take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back soon.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. We are now joined by our guest, political analyst Pearl Matiebe, who is here in Washington, Usani Ntini, a Zimbabwean based in New York, and Tim Ringai, another Zimbabwean who is based in Ohio. Welcome to our show, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Let me start by
throwing this question to Mr. Matiebe. What do you have to say about the president's State of the Union address?
Thank you so much for your question. I'll just preface this by saying that I'll speak very quickly because I may have to abruptly end because of the location where I am right now. Regarding President Biden's State of the Union address, that was a very strong statement. He aimed to try to unify both parties and to unify America. But you can look at it as if he was speaking to the American people. Generally, what happens with the State of the Union address is that it is the precursor to what we might end up seeing in the 2024 presidential election campaigns, which you will see now everybody's beginning. So what happens the day after the State of the Union, like today, is you'll see President Biden going out into the country to various locations to go and tout and loud what he was talking about yesterday evening to the American people to solidify and reiterate. And it will not just be him, it'll be Vice President Kamala Harris and other senior high-ranking administration officials as well, who will sort of deploy to the rest of the country now to keep reiterating and emphasizing what he was talking about in the speech. But overall, it was a strong speech. He got some support from the Republican side, and in some cases they were also pushing back in terms of things like the economy and so on. Back to you.
Yes, and you mentioned the response from the Republican Party. Can we say that the accusations that the Republicans made to President Biden's government are found, like they are saying that the Democratic-led government inherited a sound economy, but in 2 years they've destroyed that. Do you agree with that?
Actually, I don't know that I can say that I agree with that statement, because these two speeches, both the Republican speech from President Biden and the counter speech from the Republican side, Governor, were both very strong speeches in their own rights. However, they were also both extremely different speeches. President Biden's speech, the content was heavy on data, on numbers, on evidence of the work that he has done, in him explaining to the American people, this is what I have done and this is where we have left to go. The Republican speech was also a very strong speech. However, there was no numbers or evidence to support the stance that they had been successful in terms of the economy. That Republican speech was very much rooted in Republican values, Republican culture, and Republican ideology. And so it was strong in that and to the audience that they were speaking to. What this, the Republican speech did not do is it doesn't show to people who have not yet decided which way they're going to vote in the 2024 presidential election what they might do for them if their values are not 100% centered on the same Republican values. Those values that were being spoken about by the governor are very much former President Trump values. Remember, she is his former press secretary. And so these were very, very different speeches. There was also this aim to show the difference in age between herself and President Biden. So there were stark differences, but this Republican speech was lacking in evidence. So they were making a lot of ideas. It was about ideas, it was about values, about culture, but without actual data was to support the claims. So yes, they were making the claims, but there was no data to support it. Whereas President Biden's speech, he was saying, giving ideas, he had witnesses, he had people in the stands sitting in the row in front of his wife, the First Lady, or people he had brought in to show to the American people. These are some of the examples, like in policing, for example, right? And so these were the differences in both speeches. Very strong speeches, both of them, but they point a very important message as to where each one of these two parties stands right now and where they will be moving forward headed into the election season. This is about the elections. This is about the next election season now. Back to you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Matibe. I'm not sure whether you still have some minutes to be with us, but if you are about to leave, thank you so much.
Yes, I'll stay until I need to go.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let me go to Mr. Muringai. Mr. Muringai, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, Mr. Muringai is based in Ohio. We heard President Biden reaching out to Republicans so that they can work together. Your take on this?
I think it's a very productive thing. Anytime the both parties work together and have bills passed, because like we evidenced the past year, there are quite a number of bills that were passed that needed bipartisan support, like the assault weapons ban that they're asking for. Part of it was passed in terms of the background checks and all that with that. And then we have the microchip bill that was passed bipartisan. So, you know, everything that is worked together by both parties, I think, is very applaudable.
Ndikati mungodzokorora nerurimi rwaamai mashoko iwayo ekuti takanzwa mutungamiri wenyika yeAmerica vaJoe Biden vachikurudzira kune vebato rinopikisa remaRepublicans kuti vange vachishanda pamwe chete. Munoona sei danho iroro?
Handinoona zviri very important kuti kana munyika muchiitwa hutongi, vanhu vanenge vachipikisana kana mapoka anopikisana vashande pamwe chete, nekuti ndo kuti nyika iende pamberi. Tinoona kuti iyo Republican Party nemaDemocratic Party vakambo passama bills, futi, you know, the Assad weapons ban. Yes, asi vakabata nakuti vaite zvebackground check nekuti vanhu vachekwe kuti vari mentally stable here kuti vave nepfuti. Tikazoona microchip bill rakapaswa neimwe inonzi Inflation Reduction Act. Saka kana vachishanda pamwe chete tinoona kuti zvinobatsira nyika kuti iende pamberi.
Thank you so much. I think let me go to our Skype guest now. That's Mr. Bustani Ntini, who is based in New York. Mr. Ntini, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. Do you see the Republicans heeding Mr. Biden's call?
Most probably not. I believe that what we are seeing happening now is really a precursor of 2024. I think every party, whether Democrats or the Republicans, they are preparing for 2024. Mm-hmm. Each person is trying to show their own hand, and they are pushing for things that will make them win in 2024. I found the speech by Biden to be a bait at some point. He was really baiting and trying to push the Republicans to show their hand, especially when you look at things like, you know, sunsetting of the Social Security and Medicare. He pretty much had them committing to the American people on national TV that they would not, sunset those two programs.
Mm-hmm. Please kindly repeat that in isiNdebele.
Ngombono wami ngibona ngani esikubone kusenzakala izolo kutshengisela ukuthi amaparty omabili, ama-Democrats nama-Republican, asekhangele ama-election ayi-presidential aka-2024. Iparty ngayinye ngayinye izama ulungisa umgwaqo wokuthi bekwanise ukuthi bewine u-2024. So yonke into abayenzayo bayenza bekhangelele u-2024.
Siyabonga baba. Let me now go to Ms. Matibe. Ms. Matibe, let's go to Zimbabwe for a second. Do you think President Mnangagwa would invite the opposition to work together like what Mr. Biden did?
Thank you so much for that question. So there is no way that I can, say what President Mnangagwa might be thinking. However, what I would say that if he has the true intention or a sincere intention to show that democracy is at play, that transparency is at play, that the plebiscite, the electoral and population who's eligible to vote, have as much access to make their choice with a free will, then there is no harm in inviting anybody who is opposed to your own view for them to participate fully in the process. When that process is diminished, when that process is hindered, when that process is sabotaged, when there is violence in that space, then you might as well tell the world and your own people that there is no democracy here and that there will be no free and fair election. We have already seen extensive violence in the country. So already those pillars are in great danger. Mm-hmm. So, we cannot predict or say what President Mnangagwa might be thinking. However, what is his intent? What is it that he wants for the country? What is it that he wants for the people and for the future? Yeah. Is he going to, so these are things that, history will remember him for something. It just depends which side of history does he want to be remembered on.
Thank you so much, Ms. Matibe. Please do stay on the line. We have our first caller from South Africa. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes, tukutaura nani?
Mukutaura na Albert.
Mukoma Albert. Murikupi mkweku South Africa?
Driku Limpopo Gulest Richard.
Thank you so much. Tipe itu nge maonero yenyu.
Ndirikuona president we America achitaura zvinhu zvakanaka, asi nekuti vose tiri kuAfrica kuno kuku vamwe vedu hatigoni kutsigirapo, tongoziva kuti
nyika yedu yakamira sei asi kutaura kwakanaka.
Munotaura imi kuti hamugone kutsigira, muri kutaura muchitarisa nyika yeZimbabwe here kana kuti kuAmerica?
Tiri kutarisirawo ngati kuti zviri kose nekuti zvakangofanana netingati tisigire nyika yedu, munongozviona nyika yedu mamiriro zvakaita. Ungangotsigira asi munozoona kuti unongotsigira zvacho uzozviwani. Saka vai vari koko kuAmerica uko ivowo president veAmerica vari kuzamawo kuti isusu Zimbabweans neutongo hwedu tigone kusunungukawo.
Ndizvozvo. Aiwa, tinotenda zvikuru mukoma Albert, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Tinotenda. Ndodzokera kuna vamuringai. Vamuringai, tabvunza nerurimi rwechirungu kuti mungaona here zvakaitwa navaBiden zvokukoka vemapato anopikisa zvichiitikawo kuZimbabwe, vamunangagwa vachikokwawo, vachikokawo vemapato anopikisa kuti vashande pamwe chete.
Izvo handione zvichiitika nekuti ndanzwa hangu mai vedu Matibe vachitaura kuti havasi kunyatsoziva kuti president anenge achifungei, but tinoziva isusu kuti nhoroondo kana kuti history inotiudza kuti vamunangagwa is not a very open person in terms zvekupikiswa kana kupiwa maviews akasiyana neyavo. Saka ini handizvione zvichiitika, asi pamwe zvinokwanisa kuitika hameno. But ine history yavatiratidza 43 years, handizvioni.
But Mr. Muringai, some may argue that already there is Pollard, President Mnangagwa has invited opposition leaders to work with him.
Well, I might say Pollard is something like this, if I can explain it in simple terms. Ditaura nechirungu kana kuti nechishona?
Taurai zvaine chirungu kana shona chirungu, taurai izvi rinozvikwa.
Okay. Yeah, zvakafanana nekuti ndikaita team yangu inonzi Dynamos. Inini ndobva ndaita coach, ndobva ndatora vanhu veDynamos ndobva ndati vaite mareferee, ndobva ndatora vanhu veDynamos ndobva ndati vaite mamatch commissioner, tichitamba neHighlanders. Saka ipapo ndobva totaura kuti hai, izvo hazvishandi izvi. Pollard ndozvayakaita.
Thank you so much, Mr. Muringai. Let me go back to Mr. Ntini. Mr. Ntini, what would you say were the main foreign policy issues that Mr. Biden highlighted?
The speech yesterday wasn't so heavy on foreign policy, except China and Ukraine. I mean, he did, you know, indicate that the U.S. would not, you know, is scared by, you know, what's happening in China, and the U.S. is going to continue to, you know, try to take the manufacturing jobs from China. And then when it comes to Ukraine, he did indicate that, you know, they are the leaders of NATO, and they'll continue to push to make sure that, you know, Ukraine is defended by the NATO nations. So his speech wasn't too heavy on, you know, foreign policy. Obviously, you know, they are looking at 2024 elections, and we have a house that is divided.
Yes.
So he really wanted to talk about the internal politics before going beyond.
Thank you so much. Mr. Matibe, do you think that there were any deficiencies in his foreign policy statement?
Here's what I will say, and here's what we know for sure. In the way that the current Biden administration projects its foreign policy conduct, its internal domestic policies are intertwined with its foreign policy. And so when you see how President Biden presented his State of the Union yesterday, there are a number of issues which kind of connect into the national security.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Matibe. Time is against us, and that brings us to the end of our show. We'd like to thank all our guests and, of course, you, the viewers and listeners at home. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow. Signing off in Washington, this is Jonga Kandemiri saying good night, Zimbabwe.